Welcome to our cafe church style of worship this morning.
Thank you.
Whether you're here in person, watching this live on screen later, or later in the week, we pray that this will be a time of blessing and encouragement and inspiration. A couple of things about this cafe church format. First, I invite you to stay seated for most of the songs today, because when you're seated around the tables, it can be a bit tricky to sort of awkward to stand up and sit down all the time and shuffle your chair out from the table. It's not like when we're just sitting without the tables. So be at peace, because often when you're at a cafe and you're singing away for some odd reason, you don't stand up then, do you? So the tables do help us, though, to look each other in the eyes. Or at least those around the table you're sitting at. And that helps us to have a greater sense of togetherness and unity, since we're not looking at the back of someone else's head. The second thing about this format is that we encourage you to do what happens normally in any other cafe setting. No, that doesn't mean looking at your phones. It means that you can eat and drink at any time during the next hour or so. So help yourself to a cup of tea at the back of the church here, or just through the door to the coffee where Richard is going to bring the percolator out. It's already there. Excellent. So you can get yourself a coffee any time and have a nibble on some of the food that's out on the table. Some of you abroad, if you have. Great. We're having it sort of... It's a movable feast, so to speak, this morning. Just excuse me.
I'll have white with one, thanks.
Now, there may even be time to have a bit of conversation and some listening to each other.
Not, what's the point of a conversation?
Not just listening to those of us with a microphone. I'll unplug yours. So feel free to move about occasionally. It'll also be easier to help yourself to the drinks if you're not all doing it all at once. So don't worry about people moving. Be okay about it. It's still worship. Now, the first couple of songs are about stillness. Second one, especially after the storms we had early in the week. But this is about, we're going to begin with one so that we can know the presence of the Lord.
One, two, three, four...
Presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Come bow before Him now with reverence and fear. In Him no sin is found. We stand on holy ground. Be still for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Be still for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with holy fire, with splendor He is crowned.
Faith receive.
still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place.
Amongst us, we pray, for we're here to worship you. For some of us, this is a little out of our comfort zone, but help us to take a few risks and to be open to new things. Give us fresh eyes, fresh ears, and an openness to your Spirit, that we can hear you speak to us in fresh ways. May our faith grow stronger so we can be witnesses together to your love for all of us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, just while a few of you are still getting your coffee and tea and sitting down, a few notices. In the grapevine for this week, you can see that the Home Aloners men's group meets at 12 noon this Tuesday at the Warradale Hotel. Bit of a drive down to the plains. Would you let one of the Bobs know today if you're going, please? Creative Connections will meet for the last time this term on Thursday morning as usual. Then they'll have a two-week break. The next lot of planned giving envelopes for offerings are available and will begin from next week. Some reason that's the start of the financial year. Always a good time, isn't it? If you haven't returned your form about what you're intending to give, then the acting treasurer, Colin, I'm sure would appreciate getting those forms back ASAP. So the church has an up-to-date idea of what our giving intentions are for the next 12 months, which certainly helps with budgeting. We all know that ministry would not happen without your generosity, especially as the dollars we need to invest in ministry and support And stuff rises a little bit every year, doesn't it? So what happens to your offerings? Here's a bit of information. How's the money used? A quick chat with Colin will soon help you find this out. For example, some money is used to help those in need through the Pantry 52 project. 152. Pantry 152. Can't read what I've got in front of me. Some of your offerings will also help to provide pastoral care and other ministry support to the congregation and to those on the fringes as well. And also for the education and training of future ministers and deacons and pastors. And some of our regular offerings are used for worship expenses to pay our copyright licences and things for the music we use. And there are the usual property expenses to replace light globes and to... we invested in the air conditioning this year. And I'm sure we're all appreciating that, aren't we? It's a tad warmer than it used to be 12 months ago. And some money's also used to pay for Colleen's time in the church office. And some of our regular offerings help to pay for the administration, governance and compliance work by the synod and presbytery, the wider work of the church. It also helps to pay for hospital and prison chaplains and to support ministry after disasters like the floods and fires and other emergencies that happen occasionally, we hope not too often. So thank you to everyone for your generous giving to the work of God, and please continue to give. Now, the Church Council recently decided that at each of these cafe church services held near the end of most months, we'd like to make a point of focusing on people who have contributed to the ministry and care for this congregation. And the first of these special thank yous goes to a group of people without whom our worship services would be very much the poorer. They contribute a huge amount of time and expertise week after week after week, and not just on Sunday mornings either. Without their commitment and dedication, worship in particular would be completely different and nowhere near as significant for all of us, I'm sure. I'm referring, of course, to the people in what we call the TARDIS up the back. You might like to turn and look and see who is sitting there at present. Wave to them. Thank you. Besides those three up the back today, there are others who also help out at times. So please join me in giving this special, very dedicated group a special round of applause again, please. Thank you, guys and girls. And thank you all of you who contribute to the Vines by being up there each week. We really appreciate what you do. By the way, you might like to speak to them afterwards, individually, and just express your appreciation for what they contribute to worship and to this congregation. And let me say a prayer of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Generous God, we thank you that there are those who help us by serving in the TARDIS. Thank you for their dedication and commitment as they use their gifts and skills so generously week after week after week, often without us being aware of what they are contributing, because it happens so smoothly. We pray that they will continue to serve, and we also pray, God, that you will lead new people into considering how their gifts can be developed and used, especially helping up with the sound and the vision, but not only there, so that we no longer take for granted the gifts of time and skills that these people give to us all. May we give thanks for them all with grateful hearts. In the name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. And now we're going to sing a song of thanksgiving.
Sorry.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, give thanks to the risen Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give praise to his name. Jesus is Lord of all the earth. He is the King of creation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give thanks to the risen Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give praise to his name. Spread the good news o'er all the earth. Jesus has died and has risen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give thanks to the risen Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give praise to his name. We have been crucified with Christ, now we shall live forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give thanks to the risen Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give praise to his name. God has proclaimed the just reward, new life for all. Hallelujah, 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 give thanks to the risen Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give praise to his name. Come, let us praise the living God, joyfully sing to our Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give thanks to the risen Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, give praise to his name.
And thanks, Rob.
Our reading comes today from Colossians 3, verses 1 to 17. You have been raised to life with Christ. Now set your heart on what is in heaven, where Christ rules at God's right side. Think about what is up there, not about what is here on earth. You died, which means that your life is hidden with Christ, who sits beside God. Christ gives meaning to your life, and when he appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Don't be controlled by your body. Kill every desire for the wrong kind of sex. Don't be immoral or indecent or have evil thoughts. Don't be greedy, which is the same as worshipping idols. God is angry with people who disobey him by doing these things. And this is exactly what you did when you lived among people who behaved in this way. But now you must stop doing such things. You must quit being angry, hateful, and evil. You must no longer say insulting or cruel things about others, and stop lying to each other. You have given up your old way of life with its habits. Each of you is now a new person. You are becoming more and more like your Creator, and you will understand him better. It doesn't matter if you are a Greek or a Jew, or if you are circumcised or not. You may even be a barbarian or a Scythian, and you may be a slave or a free person. Yet Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. God loves you and has chosen you as his own special people. So be gentle, kind, humble, meek, and patient. Put up with each other and forgive anyone who does you wrong, just as Christ has forgiven you. Love is more important than anything else. It is what ties everything completely together. Each one of you is part of the body of Christ, and you were chosen to live together in peace. So let the peace that comes from Christ control your thoughts, and be grateful. Let the message about Christ completely fill your lives while you use all your wisdom to teach and instruct each other. With thankful hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Whatever you say or do should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, as you give thanks to God the Father because of him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning and to know that we are, in fact, looking at chapter 3 of Colossians. So we've done 1, 2 and 3, and that will be where I'll end. I won't do chapter 4. It's only a short little bit. But for me, that the really remarkable thing, as I started to prepare this some time ago, was just how much there's a structure through all of Colossians, that it's a very powerful book because it is determined to stick to a theme, and it's determined in many powerful ways. If you remember last week, or last, well, 2 or 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, is that we read this in chapters 9 and in verses 9 and following in chapter 2. God lives fully in Christ, and you are fully grown because you belong to Christ, who is over every power and authority. And Christ has also taken away your selfish desires. So there was this sense, this very real sense, that this was about Jesus doing something in us, that there was this power to be had through what Paul was bringing out in chapter 2, which was talking about the transforming power of Christ and the way that that transforming Christ was with us in every day and in every way. So that there was this great long sense about there being transformation at the heart of the gospel. And so what Timothy, on behalf of Paul, if you recall, we said that a few weeks ago, that, you know, what Timothy was saying was, this is about the power of Christ to bring about change. Okay, that's what it was about. It was about the power of Christ to bring about change, and that's for us. That power is for each of us as we live. And so all through chapter 2, I should send you home to read it again since you've already read it once, because I asked you to a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, just nod, that's right, just nod. Okay? But it's about the fact that we're in the middle of transformational love, and that is what Paul wanted the people in Colossae to know. They were in the midst of a structure that was difficult, that the things that they believed were actually, in fact, holding them back because of the beliefs of some people. And so what Paul was saying through chapter 1, where he's talking about what he sought to do and how that's powerful, and then in chapter 2 about the transforming love of Christ, then we get to chapter 3, and here Paul is trying to show that this stuff isn't just for other people, but that transformation is for us. Lots of times I hear people who, when it comes to what you should do as Christians, it becomes a bit of a burden, doesn't it? You know, I mean, I remember as a kid, and I know it was a long time ago now that I was a kid, but, you know, I remember when people used to say about how you had to do all these things and how hard it was to be a Christian, and you had to make sure that you followed all the rules, which, of course, I never did. I'm sure all of you, of course, were good people. Yeah, I was just a naughty kid, you know. I was terrible. I used to get thrown out of Sunday school. True, it's true. In fact, you know, in my very worst years when I was a little kid, you know, they tried, first of all, because I was so difficult, to send me back with the little kids, thinking that it would somehow embarrass me. That didn't work. You know, and in the end, the poor teachers of the little kids were going, get rid of him, that's it, we don't want him. But, you know, and so I understand that it can be really difficult because we get caught up in, you know, this thinking that it's all about having to fulfill a set of rules. And I get that because I fought against all of that stuff when I was a kid. Let's be clear. Okay? And, you know, it was a part of who I was, and yet it wasn't. Because my own experience of faith was that it was transformational. When I first had a personal encounter with God, I knew that things were different. And it was out of that knowing that things were different that I got to the point where I was always wanting to do and to be, as I'm sure you are. And that as we live, we come not to be those who tick a whole lot of boxes, but rather those who are doing something quite different. I mean, if we look at some of the stuff that's in this reading, there's some of this that I think is incredibly powerful. It says about all the things that we should get rid of. You know, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. It's a fair whack, isn't it? But in fact, it's things like, do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices. What this is talking about is the fact that for us, the transformation that's happening here is not about just fulfilling a list, a tick list, you know, all the boxes, ticking all the boxes. It's not about that at all. It's actually about the freedom that becomes possible. When we get to verse 12, we hear, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, we know that, you know, if you go to Galatians 5, you get a very similar list, don't you? You know, because the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, humility, and self-control. I hope I got that right. You know, they just roll off. But essentially, it's right. And what Paul is wanting us to understand is the stuff that we're bringing, that we're called to do, and the stuff that we're called to come to, is actually stuff that's about changing us. That we become very powerful. And so we go back to what we read in chapter 2, which is about the transforming power of Christ that's shown as we read chapter 2. There's a transforming power of Christ. And what Paul is saying is, this is for us. You know, that for us to follow the call of the gospel is actually about us doing that because of the way it transforms us, the things that it can do within us. And that's a very different thing. It's a completely different way of understanding the purpose of following Jesus. Because the purpose of following Jesus is not so that we've done all the right things, you know. Not that at all. It's about us being set free. You know, I would have to say that, you know, being people who are clothed with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, those are transformational. You know, you talk to people about that stuff. And most people would tell you that's what they're looking for in life, isn't it? They're looking for those sorts of things in their lives. It's a very powerful thing for... Well, that's better. Got my glasses off. I can see you now. But those things, it's when we get those things in our lives that people feel absolutely free. You talk to people about what they want, it's that sort of stuff. And yet that is in the section that we would call following Jesus or obeying the gospel. And yet it's not about that at all. What it's about is about us taking on what Christ wants, because in that we are made complete. And so all of the stuff that we think about, what should I do to follow Jesus? And if we get that, we've cut ourselves off at the knees. Because we're coming at it from the wrong place. You know, if we need to work, hate the term, but we need to work at doing the things that really matter for us. The ways that the things that we can do so that the transformational stuff is happening within us. So that as we do that, we come to some other understandings. Because in verse 14, which is one of the nicer verses in Colossians, you know, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Is that about doing the right thing? I don't think so. It's not about doing the right thing at all. It's about our hearts being changed and our lives being changed so that the things that we do are actually giving to others. So that we are clothed with compassion and all of the other things. So that we are the people who are clothed in humility and clothed in love. You know, put on love above all other things. This way of living is not a way in which we tick the boxes. It's a way in which we have a living, ongoing relationship with Christ. That is the very powerful thing that we need to see is embedded deeply in the book of Colossians, all through. You know, the power of Jesus is shown. You know, Paul talks about all the things that he's done for them and how powerful that is. In chapter 2, there's all the stuff about the transformational power of Jesus being shown. And then in chapter 3, it's how we live that out and how we experience that. And so the word for us is that we do these things because they make us rich, so that we're not just, you know, thinking that we've got to do the right thing. You know, this isn't the Ten Commandments here. This is a different thing. This is about the way that Jesus was brought into the world so that the world might be set free. That's what the point of the cross is. That we should get that experience of knowing the love of Jesus and experience it through what Jesus has done on the cross. So I'm not going to go on for a long time today. I'm going to be very good. Well, you know, we'll get you to talk in a minute. That'll help. But seriously, the one thing about all of these three about these three bits and all of the book of Colossians is that it's about the transforming power of Christ. And that's something I want you to hold on to. That this is about the fact that Jesus transforms us. And that transformation comes because of the power of Jesus. if you look in chapter 2, and I encourage you to go back and read it again, it is about the fact that God's love in Jesus is transformational. And then he wants us to experience it by following these things. You know, it's an offer. You know, it's an offer. It's not. It's even better than a two-for-one offer. You know, what was that rude comment? Yeah, yeah. It's all right. Or 4-for-1 if you're in the TARDIS this morning. But the whole point of this offer is that Jesus is wanting us to experience the fullness of what he's about. And I would encourage you to go back and read the book of Colossians right through again and hear the way this is about Jesus bringing that power to us. Because the whole point of the book of Colossians, the letter to the church at Colossae, is that all through it you see that Jesus, or Paul particularly, wants people to know that Jesus is offering them the way to live in power, the way to live in freedom, the way to live in joy. And that he sees that as coming through the changes that he's talking about in people. I'm just going to read a little bit of it to you again, because I want you to not actually try to hear all the words. I don't want you to hear all the words. I want you to just let it wash over you, okay? This is not so you can shut your eyes. You don't have to put up with looking at me. Good on you, okay? But to actually just shut your eyes and hear this roll over you as you hear the power of what Jesus is saying to you. When Christ, who is in your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, then, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Okay. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: rage, anger, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have put off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but in Christ is all and in us all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and faithful and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. That's it. We're going to come back and ask you some questions. We're going to, you know, do it. Did you listen to anything over the last couple of months? But, you know, I expect a score far better than my daily score in the quiz on a Saturday. I expect much more than 16 out of 32, as it was yesterday. So I expect a much higher result.
Pleased to see some of you are refreshing your cuppers. Continue to do that. We're going to sing this song in a few seconds. about having faith in God. And you might think about what Trevor's just said while we're singing this.
Now, for those of Now, for those of you who have got your grapevine, the questions that we're going to ask you are actually on your copy of the grapevine, but they'll be left out there. The 10 questions that we're going to start with, the one we still manage to do, there are three questions, and there's basically one for each. And you know what? The supremacy of Christ is at the heart of Colossians 1, and I'd encourage you to look at it, get your Bible app out on your phone and have it there in front of you so you can see what you're doing. The power of Christ is expressed in this passage, and it raises the question of how the power of the living Lord is seen in our lives and lived within us. What does it mean to live as those who seek to show the power of the risen Lord day by day? Which is the real question. The rest was just intro. Okay? That's a question. What does it mean to live as those who seek to show the power of the risen Lord day by day? In Colossians 2, there's a great section about the fullness of Christ and what it means for us as followers of Jesus. What do you think it means that you were raised in the fullness of Christ? That's actually one of Paul's great echoes in chapter 2. And what does it mean for you in practical terms? In other words, what does it mean for you to be one who is raised in the fullness of Christ? What does that mean? Yeah? That's the second question. And the third, in Colossians, there's a great call on us to... That should be live in the fullness of Christ, not lying in the fullness of Christ. That's That's an error of the person who did the typing. That's me. And an attempt to work out how to live in this. What does it mean to seek to live in the peace of Christ and to put on love? Okay, can you see those three questions? And look, I don't care which of them you answer or don't answer. It's whichever one works for you guys. Okay? So it's about which you find the most helpful to discuss. So that'll stay up there. And I encourage you to stay. If you don't like the people that you're sitting at, you can always go and move to another table.
Okay.
Anyway, there you go. So talk among yourselves about it and see where it takes you. It may take you nowhere.
It seems almost a pity to interrupt your morning tea conversation and your discussion of what Trevor said, but we're going to do a bit more stuff first before you continue on again. So in a few seconds. Don't rush, Jen. We'll play your time. We're going to sing 10,000 Reasons. And again, remain seated for this song until near the end, where I invite you to stand up as the offerings are brought forward. And that's what we're doing. So just think about how God has blessed your soul and how we do that for Him.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like
years and then forever.
holiness, I will worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Yes, I will worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we have these gifts of time and skills and money and food that we can bring for your blessing today. For we have been greatly blessed. And we pray that these gifts may bring you hope, joy, peace, and grace. May these things be brought to those who need practical and tangible help. And may we continue to give freely and generously, with humility and with much gratitude, so that the needs of those who struggle can be met. And may your love be experienced. For in your name we pray. Amen.
Come now to our prayers of intercession. And I must say that when I sat down, I really struggled with this prayer. We live in a crazy world today. Where do you start? There is so much going on, and so much even in our own community. But these are the words I was given. Gracious God, we pray for the world today. We see so much suffering, so much conflict, and so much division. We ask your healing touch on those who are hurting, for your guidance for those in the position of power, and for your inspiration to those working towards peace and justice. Grant us all the courage to be the instruments of your love and compassion, to reach out to our neighbours and to work towards a world where all may thrive. Heavenly Father, we pray for strength and resilience for those who are sick and suffering. And we bring to you now those that are on our hearts. Just leave quiet for a moment to bring those people to your hearts. The one name that comes to my mind is Leon, who is really suffering at the moment. But there may be others. Lord, grant them the physical and emotional fortitude to endure their challenges and the grace to accept your will. May they find comfort in your presence and be restored to health in your time. Eternal God, we thank you for this place we can come together Sunday by Sunday to be reminded of your presence with us each day, wherever we are, whatever we are doing. In this brief time aside from our daily occupations, we want to refocus our minds and our hearts on the things that matter most in this journey we call life. Too often we are dominated by the media headlines in the newspaper, on the television and radio, and by the pressure of work and worries. For just a few moments, we want to rise above those concerns, above world problems, above time, and even above ourselves. We want to see the world humanity and history as you see them, O God. We want to see this earth as your idea and creation, beauty as your gift to the humankind, men, women and children. Each day is something precious and valuable in their individuality. Deliver us, we pray, from the iron grip of our circumstances, whatever they are. Enable our spirits to find the freedom to perceive the meaning of life and how we should live. Forgive us, O God, where we have failed in thought, word and deed, and when we have repeated mistakes of the past. Enable us to be forgiving of those who disappoint us in any way. Renew our faith and courage. Be fresh to intake your spirit and enable us to follow steadfastly in the steps of our pioneer and leader, Jesus Christ. So we now join together as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our final song, apart from the bit after Trevor says his bit, has some interesting phrases in it. I hope that you note them as you see them appearing, like that second to last line, letting God change us. That's an interesting thing to invite to happen in the church, isn't it? Well, let's sing.
God gives us a future.
Obviously, this is from Colossians 3. Let the message about Christ completely fill your lives while you use all your wisdom to teach and instruct each other. With thankful hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Whatever you say or do should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus as you give thanks to God the Father because of him.
If anyone wants to pray after the service, then come forward or talk to somebody around the table. And thank you for your forbearance in being here today. And now we're going to sing a song which is called Benediction.